Shalom LaYehudim, Shalom LaBnei Noach, Shalom LaGoyim. It's the evening of the fourth day, Beis B'Sivan, Tafshin Ayin Hey, Parashas Bamidbar, the evening of the third day, Tuesday, 19 May 2015, webcasting from a target of European anti-Jews since the days of the Caesars. Yes, Rome was hostile to Jews before Christianity. Europe became even more hostile afterwards when this erstwhile sect of anti-Jews, Jewish anti-Jews, broke away, trashed the mitzvot, portrayed Jews as murderous agents of the devil, and gave birth to a faith that the God of the Jews was unlike Abraham's God, who tested him but in the end prevented him from killing his own son. Their God really did want to kill his only begotten son, and did. Yes, in Brussels, a 41-year-old possible descendant of the Caesars yesterday, and who knows, some fornicating pope, Federica Mogherini, said that the European Union is ready and willing to play a major role in relaunching the peace process on the basis of the two-state solution, close quote. Now, there's a piece of language for you in a class with when did you stop beating your wife for skewing the result. What Mogherini was saying is that there is a peace process, and it's a foregone conclusion. Therefore, there is no peace process. Nothing to be done but get to the goal of driving hundreds of thousands of Jews from homes they believe, and they are intelligent people, they have the right to live in their ancestral homeland, on acreage which prior to the building of their homes was barren, empty of all human habitation. No putatively Paleolithic Palestinian was evicted and made homeless by the building of these homes for Jews. She said the EU, whose foreign policy she has the power to shape, wants to play a major role in this process. And if I were Bibi tomorrow, or when they meet, I would say to her, you have no more role in our daily war for our lives, attacked by these barbaric Arabs, than Israel has in determining EU policy on how to handle the invasion of similar Muslims. If I had a role in your affairs, I'd tell you to shut your borders, allow no more of them in, and treat those who violate your laws with expulsion, even if they were born there. Yes, you might have to change your laws, but if you want to survive, you must do what is necessary. You, Signorina Mogherini, weren't even born when I, Bibi Netanyahu, was fighting for my people's lives in the war of attrition. You were still peeing in your diaper when some of these Arab barbarians hijacked an airplane with lots of Israelis abroad to the heart of Africa, where our soldiers had to rescue them, and in the process my own brother was shot dead by these sky pirates, these successors to the North African Muslim pirates who for centuries raided your coasts to capture your forebears and enslave them. I have no reason, Signorina, to believe you have any useful knowledge of this region. Have you read the Quran? If so, then you know it is an anti-Semitic tract. Have you even read one book on the history of my people under Muslim oppression for 14 centuries until 1948? And are you aware that we still every day have to spend an ungodly sum of money and time defending ourselves? Do you know there are almost daily attacks on us? Probably not, I doubt. Any major European news outlet reported on the 60-year-old Jew last week murdered when a Muslim stabbed him in the throat. These Muslims have been murdering us like this for the last century and more of our restoration to life of our ancient homeland, and that under the Muslims was kept as a barren wasteland. History records nothing of a Palestinian people. Not until 1970, after a half century of League of Nations, United Nations involvement in my country's fate, did the idea of a Palestinian people even appear. For all that time, our neighbors had sufficient motivation via their double collective identities as Arabs and Muslims to slaughter us. Statehood for the Palestinians had nothing to do with it, and it still does not. Close quote. But of course, Bibi's not going to talk that way. He will maintain his strategy of lying to her face about how much he wants to resume negotiations toward the two-state solution. In this, he has been his own worst enemy. For Signorina Mogherini, Dr. Mogherini, PhD, like fellow scientist of politics, Dr. Joseph Balin, Ph.D. Coming here is for her a test of Bibi's real intentions, so that her quest is not really about a Palestinian state, but probing the Jew in search of his real intentions. His nefarious plot, perhaps, to continue to deny to the Palestinians their land and prevent them from creating the state they have dreamed of from time immemorial. The heart of the matter for her, then, is not the fate of the Palestinians, that's already been decided, but the heart of Bibi Netanyahu, who clearly does not belong to the community of the enlightened in the matter of the victims of the Jews' Zionism, which was about stealing Palestine from the Palestinians. Yeah, I think Bibi has been his own worst enemy. His Bar-Ilan speech of 2009 had short-term successes, but at a terrible price. He himself has contributed to the rise of the BDS and violent anti-Semitism by affirming in the minds and hearts of world anti-Jewry the rightness of creating a Palestinian state. He has admitted that the Palestinians are entitled to a state. And so the issue for today's Mogherinis is whether Bibi is a liar. He said he supports the two-state solution, just like every enlightened person who wants to do justice with the victims of Zionism. So at stake for her is not that desire at all. That's ancient history. In the matter of statehood, Bibi is on board. So the issue at hand is his sincerity. Does he keep his word? Bibi's Bar-Ilan speech was like a new wonder drug that saves the patient in immediate danger, but then leads to terrible long-term consequences. The only way for Israel to combat the dragon of anti-Jew hatred growing daily, it seems to me, is to plunge a sword into its heart. And that is the basic claim that the Jews stole Palestine from the Palestinians. In truth, the Arabs never knew here there was such a country with that name. In truth, Israel stole nothing, and statehood for Palestinians is nothing but an Orwellian smokescreen. Israel should not accredit journalists who write of the West Bank instead of Judea and Samaria. Israel must instruct all of its diplomats to inform their host countries that there is nothing Palestinian about these Palestinians, that no one can describe their identifying national markers any more than one can describe the emperor's new clothes. Israelis must tell the world that statehood for the Palestinians has nothing to do with the violence here against us that never ends. Israelis must protest the naked injustice to Israel done by violating international law, refusing to respect the League of Nations mandate in the UN Charter, which recognized Jewish rights to Judea and Samaria, for ignoring international standards about what constitutes statehood, which is what recognizing a state of Palestine is. Israelis must learn to understand that the creation of the state of Israel, did not put an end to anti-Semitism, for anti-Semitism is independent of material causes. It is wholly psychological, from the word psuche, psyche, the Greek word for soul. Israelis have to learn to demand their rights and stop trying to placate anti-Jews by meeting them halfway in the matter of what the Palestinian victims of their national liberation movement have coming to them or not. Israelis have to learn that the animosity is not reality-based and therefore cannot be faced with concrete actions. The hatred has no roots in the concrete, and Israel's defense must take that into account.
Thank you.
Yeah, Israel is forever berated by its supporters for having lousy PR. And for my money, the reason is simple. Once you accept the basic lie that Israel stole Palestine from the Palestinians, you can have no PR. All you can do is negotiate the modalities of your retreat and the return of your ill-gotten gains. That's what the Italian anti-Jewess Mogherini and her enlightened post-Christian ilk want to see. She wants to relaunch the peace process, which will end in the two-state solution, namely the eviction of 500,000 Jews from the homes they have every right to. Israelis like Bibi are forever trying to maneuver, to debate, and convince our enemies around the world of Israel's common desire to see an ancient state rise, but under certain conditions. What Bibi never does, no Israeli like him ever does, is make the case for Jewish rights to this real estate. And one reason I believe that is so is because the claim is too tied to the Jewish religion in this post-religious age. One of the great and ugly faults of Israeli culture was the failure of the public atheist Ehud Barak 15 years ago to stop the Muslims from trucking off the Temple Mount thousands of tons of dirt containing who knows how many priceless artifacts of Jewish history. Barak's silence and inaction, really the whole country's silence and inaction, is a blot on Israel's good name. Barak was also, if memory serves, chief of staff when a mob of Arab barbarians overran the tomb of Joseph, severely wounding an IDF soldier who died because Barak did not want to fight over a silly religious site. Even today, the government of Israel tolerates the behavior of the Arabs on the Temple Mount, who pay Arab women to harass Jews who rise up to pray there. It is simply a form of wretched self-abasement that Israel puts up with. Not that I propose fighting physically over the Temple Mount. I am actually all for forbidding all Jews to ascend it, but I would exact a price. I would tell Dr. Mogherini to tell her beloved crucified Palestinian victims that until they permit us peaceful and respectful use of our own holy site, from us they get nothing. I would tell her that because Islam is a religion of conscienceless, brutal savages who could flip out entirely were the IDF to drive all Muslims from the Temple Mount, start murdering Jews all over the place, and pressure all 56 Muslim states to attack Israel, Israel would not go down that road. But Israel will continue to deny Jews the right to visit and pray on the Temple Mount, but in return Israel will declare all agreements, as per Oslo, a dead letter, and Israel will build wherever it wants. It is really the basic psychology. If you want others to respect you, you must respect yourself first. And that Israel does not respect itself, its right to its holiest site, and never demands its legal rights, well, we should not be surprised by all the hostility and disrespect we receive. Here's a small item as an example. Israel National News reported last week that in a, I guess, Reform temple in Westport, Connecticut, last Tuesday, during a luncheon for a group of visiting IDF soldiers, two anti-Jews, one a student at Yale University's Divinity School, one Gregory Williams, and the other one a Daniel Fisher, sounds like a Jewish anti-Jew, who belongs to a local outfit called the Middle East Crisis Committee, invaded the building, uninvited of course, whose path was blocked by staff, which they tried to get around, so staff had to physically prevent them from entering the room and force them to shout out their venomous words about IDF soldiers from the lobby or something. It was enough of a commotion to require a call to the police, who came and arrested the two and charged them with first-degree trespassing and second-degree breach of peace. It was enough of an upsetting incident for some people in attendance to flee in fear of a terrorist attack, which led to a lockdown in nearby schools and daycare centers. What we have here is a cousin of the Temple Mount in miniature. For Muslims and Dr. Mogherini, Jews do not have the right to call that mount, our holiest site, our own, or even in this case, this building. These two anti-Jew trespassers, by their trespass, exhibited no respect for the right of the Jews in that building, which this congregation built and sustains, to decide who comes in and for what purpose. These two showed no respect for Jewish rights. But then again, as Ehud Barak had no spiritual resources to move him to prevent the looting of our Temple Mount 15 years ago. So Prime Minister Netanyahu makes no case for it today either, as he tragically also makes no case for our rights to be the sovereign rulers in Judea and Samaria. Precisely because secular Zionism was so secular, so empty, even its best and brightest, like Bibi, are spiritually incapable of fighting the spiritual fight. You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Yes, Bibi's silence over our rights may be as major a factor as any in the one-sided shrieking for Palestinian rights to sovereign ownership in Judea and Samaria and so-called East Jerusalem. About never dividing Jerusalem, Bibi has been good, but he falls short by not applying the same righteous claim to the rest of what's left of our spoils of war from 1967. In 1982, if memory serves, we returned every grain of sand in Sinai to the Egyptians. In 2005, we returned the Gaza Strip to the Arabs. About the Golan Heights, there's a national consensus about never returning it to Arab control. But when it comes to Judea and Samaria, Bibi, in theory, is no different than any leftist. He, if not in his heart, uses tactics that portray himself ready to sell back Judea and Samaria in exchange for peace. In this, he's no different than Yossi Beilin. Speaking of whom, last Friday in the Paris edition of the New York Times, that famous scientist, the architect of the peace process that Mogherini and others want to relaunch, Beilin, in an op-ed, demonstrated he has learned nothing in 21 years of bloody failure. He spoke of pressure from world leaders on Netanyahu to show a commitment to peace. Quote, Israel's more moderate parties might even join a unity government if they were promised a freeze on settlement construction and the reopening of serious talks with the Palestinians, close quote. Maybe Yossi is suffering from early-onset Alzheimer's. I don't know. He seems to be amnesiac about the 10-month freeze Bibi instituted, which brought no counter-concession from the PLO terrorists, camouflaged as Palestinian Authority officials. The dishonesty of these leftists never ceases to amaze and even entertain. Beilin briefly, in his piece, scanned the Oslo process starting in the 1990s, but then, quote, after a hurricane of violence began in 2000, too few of us in the Israeli peace camp opposed building the separation wall, close quote. It's a good thing I read this and was not standing next to him when Beilin spoke this way. For me, he'd get a broken jaw. What kind of language is this? A hurricane of violence began in 2000. Notice the intransitive verb here. No subject, no object. We don't know who began this hurricane and what the effect was on the object of the activity. Violence just began in his description of what really were hysterical mobs of Arab murderers attacking unarmed Jews, bloodthirsty people in Ramallah, women and children, Jewish babies killed, exploding teenage Jewish girls in pizza parlors, blowing the heads off bus-riding Jews riding to work in the morning. And then he rues the fact that not enough Israelis in the peace camp oppose the building of the separation wall. Beilin, we had no choice. Downtown Jerusalem saw dozens of suicide bomber attacks. Dozens of businesses went out of business. Thousands lost their jobs. What was Israel supposed to do if not build that wall? He continues to tout the so-called two-state solution and regrets that, quote, on both sides, zealots argue that the two-state solution is no longer possible, close quote. Zealots on both sides. Moral equivalence. This is BB2 at his worst. He sees a moral equivalence between the right of the Jewish people to statehood in their ancient homeland, and so the Palestinians have a right to a state in their ancient homeland. The Palestinians, as he calls them. Beilin even goes on to fantasize a peace in which settlement blocks of Jews will come under Palestinian jurisdiction and East Jerusalem made the capital of a Palestinian state. Talk about betraying Zionism, betraying Zionism, a movement that strove for a home for Jews in which they did not live as a minority. And here is Beilin contemplating Jews living under the enlightened rule of the PLO and Hamas. I've heard academic psychologists describe the ability to learn new things, learn from experience, a sign of intelligence. And we all know it's become a cliche what Einstein said about repeating the same experiment again and again, expecting a different result. By these standards, Yossi Beilin is as stupid as he is crazy.
טוב נוצרתי וטל שחרית שלך הוא נשמתי בגן העדן התהלכתי שם אור נסתר בתוך תוכי ולא שמרתי לא שמעתי את שיר הארץ הטובה שאת כל כוחה נתנה לי, נתנה ונעזבה.
עם עוד של קין על מצחי הרחק נדדתי עם בניי, ליטוע גן נוסף ביקשתי, גם שם ביקשוני מסניי. כל גירוש או אהבה זרה שנית הרגשתי בן חורג, הבקט שמעתי קול עמוק ובתוכי קורא. אל החיטה, אל ארץ טוב, אל אדמה ברוכה שבתי, שמעתי קול מוכר. בניי חצו מדבר, עבו עוד ים מתוך רשת אחד, שמעתי, שמעתי קול שופר.
אז שבתי באותה הדרך וחרב מתהפכת בבשרי,
על סף דלתך נדהם עמדתי, הזו הארץ זה שירי. אי עץ הדעת טוב הרע, ואיפה, איפה רוח אלוקים? הזה גן עדן נעורי, בו הולכים השועלים. קול מוכר, בניי חצו מדבר, עברו עוד גם מתוך רשתת נחל. שמעתי, שמעתי קול שופר.
אך בת הקול שביבחתה בדימותיה בגלויותיי, אתה צוחקת, מתרוננת, קולה עולה מבין בניי.
לא ייגע הזמן בנצח בארץ, קודש היא האדמה. אור עולה מירושלים, אור מארץ אהובה.
Last item, good news. The Army has decided to decommission the Druze Battalion that it has operated for decades. Henceforth, they will not be so segregated, so to speak, but spread out through the Army, which is what 99% of them have asked for. Good move. Israel should do much more for this community. They are a blessing. Okay, that's it for this Tuesday night, and I'll be back on Thursday, God willing. Until then, Laila Tov, Me'eretz Yisrael.